with your giving and also faithful simply being here. I know it's a very busy time of the year, lots of activities going on with graduations and who knows what else. Warm weather sometimes just pulls people away, and so way to go, church. You're here. You're the good ones. Don't tell anybody else. All right. It's time for kids' church. That's age 3 through grade 4. Go have fun, but be good while you're doing it. You have your Bible or Bible app? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been primarily talking about renewal for a season now. And today I want to focus on daily renewal. I think we all need kind of an overhaul from time to time, but we also just need to stay fresh every day. Wouldn't you agree? So how do we do this daily renewal? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 16, it gives us a little bit of insight on this. And so would you please stand while I read just these few verses here? And we stand because it's honoring God's word. He says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." All right, you may be seated. We don't lose heart. We're renewed day by day, even though outwardly we're wasting away. Can anybody identify with that feeling of outwardly wasting away? Yes, sometimes we feel that way, and yet we can still be renewed day by day. There's a story told of a man who was walking across the road when he was hit by a car. The impact knocked him on his head, which caused him to be in a coma for a couple days before he finally regained consciousness. And when he opened his eyes, his loving wife was there beside his bed holding his hand. Oh, right, yeah, there you go. He said, "You know, Judy, you've always been right by my side. When I was a struggling college student, I failed again and again, but you were always there with me. You were encouraging me to go on trying." He said, "And when I got out of school and went for all of my interviews and failed to get any of the jobs, you stayed right there with me, cutting out more classifieds for me to check on. And then I started work at this little firm and finally got the chance to handle a big contract, but I blew it because of one little mistake, and yet you were there beside me all the way. Then I finally got another job after being laid off for some time, but I never seemed to be promoted, and my hard work was never recognized. And so I remained in the same position from the day I joined the company until now. And through it all, you were right there by my side." Her eyes started to fill with tears as she listened, and he says, "And now I've been in this accident, and when I woke up, you're the first person I see, and there's something I'd really like to say to you." He said, "Judy, I think you're just plain bad luck." Didn't see that one coming, did you? Not what she was expecting, clearly. But I wonder if sometimes that's what God hears from us. Through all of our troubles, he is right there with us. And yet sometimes we'll point our finger at God and say, "Why did you do this to me?" And so while that's a humorous story, I think it's pretty close to reality in how we respond to God sometimes. He's right there with us. So when your troubles keep building upon each other, you know, the question is, will you cling to God during those times or will you turn away? We all face troubles of various kinds, but we can still be renewed day is such a thing as daily renewal. And it starts with this thought, I think. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Aristotle Onassis said it's during our darkest moments that we must focus to see the light. And Bruce Lee said the successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. Focus is important. And I think for us, we need to be focused as well. And there's three things I think that are highlighted here about our focus. And the first one is we need to focus on the future. Verse 17 speaks of the eternal glory that far outweighs all the trouble. We have a spectacular future ahead of us, church. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. If you're a believer, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And so we have a glorious future. So focus on the future. And Corrie Ten Boom says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And there are many things about the future that aren't clear. We don't fully understand. And yet we know who God is. We know what God's character is like. And he has promised us a fantastic future. And so we can focus on the future. Now, just a couple verses later here in chapter 5, verse 1, it gives us some glimpse of what our future is like. And it says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. That's our future. In Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 3, John says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. That's our future. Then a little bit later in Revelation 22, verses 4 and 5, says they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And those are just glimpses of the future that is ahead for us. But church, if we can stay focused on that future, it will help us to stay renewed on a daily basis. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a glorious future ahead. And then we need to focus on faith. In verse 18, he talks about those things that are unseen. Faith. There's a story of a man that fell off a cliff but managed to grab a tree limb on the way down. And then this conversation ensued. Is anyone up there? I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me? Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hang on much longer. That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch. A moment of pause, and then, is anyone else up there? So often we say we believe in God, we have faith, but we don't always trust him when the time really comes to it. And we try to sort everything out on our own. Right? Come on, I know I'm not the only one. When the trouble really hits, faith needs to go into action. Sometimes that's when we kind of let go of faith and we try to scramble and figure everything out for ourselves. But that's when we really need to exercise our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Now God is invisible and yet we see his effects on our lives and his presence around us. We see evidence of all those things. And so we can be sure of things that aren't even seen. And Romans 10:17 says, so then, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, church, we strengthen our faith just by reading the Word. I've been hammering on this ever since we started this renewal series, because this is key right here. Okay, dust it off. Open it up. What's again? I keep forgetting the name of our church. Open Bible. Yes, that's it. Read the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need faith. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. So when we're faced with the troubles that come in this life, we need to keep our focus on faith, not on our troubles. Trust God and keep your focus on Him. And then we also need to focus on forever. Verse 18 talks about that eternal glory. Church, this life is not all there is. Not. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 42, says, the body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is sown is raised a spiritual body. And that's forever. 1 Peter 1, 4 speaks of an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and it's kept in heaven for you. We have an inheritance coming our way. Hallelujah. And it's not just like getting $1 million. Although that would be really cool, wouldn't it? If you handled it right. It sounds good, but our inheritance is far beyond anything this world has to offer. And it's forever. Revelation 22:5, speaking of the people that will be with the Lord, says, and they will reign forever and ever. That's a really long time. Forever. You ever have to just put something on hold because there's something more important coming? You ever done that? I mean, with little kids, it's something like, you know, get your homework done and then you can have the treat. Right? We're all familiar with that concept. Well, it's kind of like that, because the blip on the line of eternity, this life is just a little blip. Okay? So we can get through this moment because there's all of eternity to come. Forever! So keep your focus. We have a fantastic future that will be forever if we keep the faith. And then, to be renewed daily, we need to keep facing our troubles firmly. In verse 16, where we started, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. And whenever there's a therefore, it means you need to look back and see what else he was talking about. And in verses 7 through 9, he says, we're hard pressed on every side. And sometimes that's the way troubles come at us, from every side. You ever feel that way? You know, if it's just coming one direction, I could maybe sidestep it. But when it comes from every side, and I'm just stuck. That's the way it often happens. It's been said that life is not about avoiding troubles, but about surmounting difficulties and overcoming obstacles. Those who have never faced problems have never lived. Right? And the longer you live, the more you know that's true. This life has problems. Welcome to life. So are your troubles working for you or against you? Are you traumatized or transformed by troubles? Do you thank God in advance and in faith for the grace that he is always giving us. And he is ever increasing upon us. And Paul goes on here and he says, we are hard pressed, but we are not defeated. And church, we understand what that is. We don't try to pretend that there's no problems in this life. Sometimes we are pressed, but we are not defeated. We might be between a rock and a hard place, but we're not going to lose. Paul says we're perplexed, but we're not despairing. And we acknowledge that there are many things in this life that don't make sense. But that doesn't mean we're just going to give up and wallow in our misery. Paul says we're persecuted, but we're not deserted. Jesus is always with us. Hebrews 13:5 tells us that. And so even when we're persecuted and trouble's coming our way, and people are sometimes, the trouble is coming because we're a Christian. But we are not deserted because Jesus is always there with us. And then he says we are pounded, but we're not destroyed. And sometimes when the troubles come at us from every side, one of the sides is from the top down and just kind of smashes us. You ever feel like you're just getting squashed under the weight of your problems? But we are not destroyed because God comforts the downcast. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6 tells us that. In all of our troubles, God is always near, and he's caring for us. We need to remember that. Because I think very often when we are feeling all these things that Paul described, you know, pressed, perplexed, persecuted, pounded, we wonder where God is. But the truth is, God's right there. Right there. There's an Ozark story about a hound sitting in a country store and howling, as hounds do. In comes a stranger who says to the storekeeper, "What's the matter with the dog? He's sitting on a cockle burr. Why doesn't he get off of it? He'd rather holler." Church, sometimes we're the hound dog that would just rather holler about our problem. Let's be honest. Instead, let's keep our focus. And as there's an old song by Bing Crosby, accentuate the positive. And here's some of the lyrics. You've got to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative and don't mess with Mr. in between. Accentuate the positive. I think it was Don Rimmenschneider that sometimes you'd ask him how he's doing, and he'd say, "Well, I'm still above ground." There's always something good that we can celebrate. In verse 16, Paul writes, says, we do not lose heart in spite of outwardly wasting away. See, he's not focused on the problems. He's seeing beyond that. In verse 17, he even says, these are only light and momentary troubles. And you know what Paul went through? He was shipwrecked and he was beaten into an inch of his life. In fact, they thought he was dead one time. And he was in prison, shackled. And he says, these are just light and momentary troubles. No biggie. Because he accentuated the positive. He remembered the focus of our future and our faith and forever. And so he could face his troubles firmly. Chuck Swindoll says, every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems. Do you see obstacles or do you see opportunities? opportunities to prove God, God's power, God's ability, God's love in the midst of the troubles we face. So keep your focus. Keep facing troubles firmly. And finally, keep the faith. Faith is fundamental to our Christian walk. Absolutely essential. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith. It's faith that overcomes the world, according to 1 John 5, verse 4. And then Isaiah 40:31 speaks of hope, which is really faith in the future that God has promised. And that's what renews us. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When you really trust God and have faith in the future that he has promised, you are renewed. So keep the faith. In 2 Timothy 1:6, in reference to Timothy's sincere faith, Paul says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. God has already given you a measure of faith. Every believer has a measure of faith. Fan it to flame. Build it. Cause it to burn and blaze. A big fire of faith. I trust God. Keep the faith. And one of the ways we do that is we rehearse the truth. In verse 13, he says that we believe and speak. And he's talking about the spirit of faith. Speak the truth. Rehearse the truth. Psalm 145, verse 13 says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. God is faithful to his promises. Do you really believe that? Does God keep his promises? Then speak it out. Ephesians 4:15 talks about speaking the truth in love. And we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Speak the truth in love. That's not just about avoiding lies, but it's about saying what God says. Speak the truth. Say what God says. So don't say it's impossible. Because God says all things are possible. Luke 18:27. Don't say, I can't go on. Because God says, my grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Don't say, I can't do it, because God says, you can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. You don't need to say, I'm afraid, because God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Don't say, I'm worried and frustrated, because God says, cast all your cares on me. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And don't say, I'm not smart enough, because God says, I give you wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Don't say, I am all alone, because God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5. And don't say, it's not worth it, because God says, it will be worth it. Romans 8, verse 2. So speak the truth. Speak the truth. Sometimes you just have to talk yourself happy. And then remember tomorrow. Verse 14 says, we will be raised. There's a better day ahead. Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So remember tomorrow. That sounds like an oxymoron. Remember tomorrow. We will be raised. And verse 14 says, we will be in his presence. Psalm 16:11 speaks of the joy and pleasure in his presence. And Psalm 89:15 speaks of the light of his presence. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, we will be with the Lord forever. We keep the faith, rehearse, and speak the truth. Remember, tomorrow we will be raised. We'll be with the Lord in His presence. And so, church, you can be renewed daily. Every single day, you can be renewed if you'll keep your focus, if you'll keep facing your troubles firmly, and if you'll keep the faith. Let's be renewed. And not just a one-shot that kind of gets us limping along for a few months, but let's be renewed every single day. How about that? We can do it. God has given us everything we need, according to 2 Peter chapter 1. Everything we need for life and godliness. He's already provided it. We just need to tap into it. It's like sometimes we're going around running a vacuum cleaner and the cord's in our hand. It's not working. I don't understand. Well, maybe I should plug it in over here. Holy cow, there's a lot of power when I plug it in. God has given us everything we need. Sometimes we just need to plug it in. Keep your focus. Keep facing troubles firmly. Keep the faith. Let's be renewed every single day. Amen? Worship team, are you back there? Here they are.